Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another episode of The Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frenkel. We got a great interview today with Statboy Steven talking about a lot of New York Rangers prospects. We're also going to talk about the Stanley Cup Final. As you can tell in my voice, I am a little bit hungover. Cody, I assume you're a little hungover as well. What's going on, man? How was the weekend?
It was good. It's still going. Nice and
a little
nice
more enthusiasm over there, bro.
It was great. Nice and sunny out here. No, it was really good. It's sunny, so can't ask for much more.
Kind of cold today. Beautiful. It's freezing outside.
It's actually been windy all weekend. Mm-hmm. Like literally all weekend. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, all good. Not much more you can ask for than summer. So that's that. Anyways, have you been watching the Stanley Cup Final?
Yeah, dude. Oh my God, I was blown away with that Colorado team last night. Dude, 7-0. And not only did they like destroy Tampa Bay, but they made that game. I tweeted it last night. They made that game look like a men's league game at Chelsea Pier. Like Tampa had no life, dude. Colorado took everything they had and brought it to Tampa Bay.
It reminded me of like their defense just completely caved in. And it makes you think back to Igor against Vazzy when they played, because in that series, like, I don't think anybody, like, Vazzy played great, don't get me wrong, but I don't think anybody would say Vazzy outplayed Igor, because he didn't. But, like, you saw yesterday that brutal game for the Lightning, and it just shows, like, Tampa without their defense giving any effort. Obviously, the Rangers did that a few times this year where Igor really had to carry us. Mm-hmm. So it's just so crazy and shows, like, how good Igor actually is in that situation, because, like, I mean, it's that Colorado team is so good, and they made quick work of Vasilevsky, right? So it's like you look at that and you think about how tough this team would have been to beat. Like, I know Tampa's down 2-0 and they've been down 2-0 and been down 2-0. Like, I can't see them coming back from this. I just can't see it.
It's funny. I said to I was tweeting with somebody, one of our followers, about I'm gonna find his name actually. I want to give him a shout out. It was
your daily Twitter troll.
No, not a troll at all. An actual like nice interaction with
Cody the Tiger,
Tom Consoli or Consoli, however you pronounce that. You know, we were kind of just talking about this Tampa team against the Rangers, how the Rangers have matched up against Colorado. And I was just saying, like, thank God the Rangers like didn't have to play against Colorado, because it would have been so discouraging. I know we talk about it a little bit with Statboy Steven, so I don't want to touch on it. But man, yeah, like this team, I've been betting against Tampa for the last 3 years. I like didn't think they'd win any Stanley Cup. Actually, no, last year I think I bet on them against Montreal. But I've kind of like counted Tampa out almost every year, which is, you know, bad on me, shame on me, yeah, whatever. But this is the first time where I'm like, okay, I think they're actually cooked. Like, they can't keep up with this Colorado team.
Yeah, yeah. And let's just say I'm very happy I hedged my Rangers bet with a Colorado bet in February, because at least I'm winning some money out of this. It could be argued like Tampa's maybe tired from the Rangers giving them a ton of close games and like pushing them to the brink and stuff like that. But I mean, this Colorado team, man, they just have so many dynamic scorers, and they're a really good team, you know, to play against. And they have all these stars, and I know Tampa does too, but I mean, it's just like yesterday was tough to watch. But other than that, let's get into some Rangers. Obviously a few exciting weeks coming up with the draft and, you know, free agency. I think not that many people are going to pay as close attention to the draft, 'cause of course we don't have a first round pick and that, but there could be some moves that happen during the draft, which will be exciting. And, you know, the off season is definitely going to be interesting as well. We talked about it a little bit in our interview, but one thing we didn't touch on that I wanted to actually ask you was the Kaapo Kakko situation. I mean, what are you doing if you're another GM right now? And what are you thinking, like, in regards to an offer sheet? We saw this happen a few years ago with Kotkaniemi. Like, would you exploit the Rangers cap situation right now and try to ultimately pry Kakko away, similar to what went down with Kotkaniemi? Because I'm looking at this like, you know, if I'm the Devils or the Islanders or one of the teams that's not particularly fond of the Rangers, like, it's kind of a chance for them to be petty if they have the cap space and, like, see if something's in, you know, if he'd be interested in going there or something like that. So, like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
I don't see why not. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try, right? I think a team that could really use a guy like Kaapo Kakko is like honestly, a team that should really kind of go after him is like a Buffalo. You know, Buffalo
Dude, don't do that to him.
I mean, listen, I would never want to ship him there, but like, if I'm the Buffalo Sabres, like, they have all these young guys now that they don't have the highest of expectations, but to get a guy like Kakko and maybe develop him in a different way that the Rangers haven't been could be super beneficial to them, right? Like, they have so many of these top picks from the past couple of years, but obviously they shipped away Eichel. So to get a guy with the potential on the ceiling like Kaapo Kakko could be huge for the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, that's a team that I think would try to go after him, right? Like, they weren't even that bad towards the end of the year. Alex Tuch came in and I think Krebs came in. And they kind of helped turn the narrative around Buffalo around. Like, they actually were able to win some games. Like, so there is a little bit of hope. So I think a team like Buffalo would be one to eye in the they'd be a team to eye Kaapo Kakko in that situation. But then again, I don't really know Buffalo's cap space and their situation money wise, but I would think they'd be like a team to go after Kaapo Kakko.
Well, you have to think Drury knows this, right? You have to think he knows that if he doesn't sign Kakko, obviously, by this July 13th deadline, I would assume he'd want to have it. I don't know when they're allowed to tender the offer sheets or whatever. I can't remember. I always forget if it's like a week before free agency or 2 weeks. I want to say July 8th, but I might have made that up. But you have to think Drury knows that this could be coming and that he's going to try and wrap up this Kakko deal like at least a week before that deadline so he could just avoid any fantasies in that regard from other teams. So,
I mean, you would know better than me.
Yeah, that's true. But it's going to be exciting to see what happens there. I do want the kid back. I think he's got a lot of talent and a lot of, you know, untapped potential that hasn't really been like honed into yet. And I think it's just a matter of like putting him on a combination with a team. And like, we saw what he did with the kid line, right? And I think something like that would really get him going and honestly put him with Kravtsov, like put him with a guy like Kravtsov and we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on? Otherwise, I wanted to talk about our new exciting sponsorship.
Yeah, go for it. Announce the big deal.
Awesome. So we have a new awesome partnership with Underdog Fantasy. It's a really cool daily fantasy app where if you download the app, you can use the code Blue Yorker, all caps and in one word, and they'll match up to $100 of your first deposit. So basically free money if you put a little money in. It's really cool. You can, you know, play with friends, play against friends. You can choose daily picks, pick'ems. And they also have something pretty cool where you can choose up to like a 5-leg parlay. So you could do obviously 2-leg, 3-leg, 4-leg, 5-leg, whatever, and you get a multiplier. So if you do the 5-leg and you can get a 20X multiplier. So for example, if you're betting $10, you could win $100. If you hit $200, sorry, not 100, you can win $200 if you hit all five. So it's pretty sweet. And you know, they have hockey, they have football, they have baseball. And I think for my next bet, I'm probably going to hammer the over for Nathan MacKinnon to have an assist because we obviously just talked about what happened yesterday, and he did not have 1 point in yesterday's game, which is like crazy to me. So I think that's like money in Monday's game. I think that's as money as it gets is for him to have an assist there. And a good parlay there would be Cale Makar, three shots or more, because he's had four shots in three of his last four games. And obviously you saw he had two goals last night. So
I'm not even joking. I just placed my underdog picks for the game for game three.
My two.
No, I took under Nathan MacKinnon's assists. Oh, I literally showed you right here. I took the under 0.5 assists from Nathan MacKinnon, and I parlayed that with Stamkos over three shots. I think it's Tampa's game to like really just try to figure it out and get momentum back in this series, because like this is, I think, if anything, a must win for Tampa. And I don't throw a must win out there a lot, but you're not coming back down 3-0 against Colorado. It's just not happening.
In the Stanley Cup too. What, you thought the Rangers couldn't do it in 14?
They didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
it was sarcasm. But.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't good. no, but I just think, like, I expect Tampa to bring their best effort of the season, obviously, tomorrow. You know, obviously,
John
Colorado,
Cooper's pissed.
Oh, dude. But he's also such a good coach and can make those adjustments. And Stamkos has been so good throughout the playoffs. I expect him to at least get three shots on goal. And, you know, MacKinnon, if Tampa is going to be successful, I mean, obviously, he didn't have any points in the last game.
Well,
but
you know why he didn't have any points?
Why?
Who was on him?
Cirelli?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he has been unbelievable. Like he's been their one shining star. I mean, Stamkos has played great. Kucherov's been a little quiet for the playoffs.
He's just been very inconsistent.
Right. Which is so unlike him, because I feel like he's the one guy who always takes over and he, you know, put the team on his back for those back-to-back cups and so on. But mm-hmm. I need Cirelli. This guy, I wanted him so bad, and I wanted us to give him an offer sheet. Speaking of offer sheets, like 2 years ago or whatever it was. And then of course they signed him to that big deal this year, but he's just a guy. I mean, if the Rangers could figure out a defensive player like that, like a Trocheck or someone like that, I think this team is in great shape.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And like you said, like having a guy that is, I think someone, I forgot who was talking about it. Someone was talking about potentially giving Cirelli the Conn Smythe if Tampa wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I mean, you can't not. I mean, who else from Tampa like deserves it right now? I mean, Stamkos is playing great. Palat's playing great. Vazzy was playing like, you know, Vazzy's been like inconsistent. Like, you know, he's been down, been up, whatever. Like Cirelli's been their one constant guy who has really just shown how valuable he is.
Especially without Braden Point.
Goals. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Point's back now. But
no, I'm saying like in the last round or two.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But yeah, I think, you know, aside from that, anything else you want to talk about, or should we send it over to Sad Boy Steven?
No, let's send it over to Steven.
All right, sweet. This week, we're very happy to welcome on a new friend of the show, someone we've been familiar with for a long time. Any Ranger fan who doesn't follow him already should, because he knows everything when it comes to prospects. So we're really happy to welcome on our friend Stat Boy Steven. Stat Boy or Steven, I don't know what to call you. What's going on, man? It's good, to
stats.
Have you on from Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah, Steven's fine. It's weird how that name came to be. Like, yeah. You know, that's been my Twitter handle for about 7 years now.
Yeah. And since I've joined Twitter and followed you, that's,
it was actually a nickname my ex-girlfriend came up with, because when we would watch Ranger games, I would always have my laptop next to me and I would look up stats while the game was going on. Like someone would score and I think it would be like a weird thing. I would look up when was the last time this happened. Mm-hmm. And then I set up my account and, yeah, the prospect stuff came later. So yeah, but nice to be on your show, guys. Looking forward to it.
Likewise. Well, I guess I'm gonna start here. First and foremost, you're European. You're from the Netherlands. You're living in Ireland right now. You had mentioned, you know, you lived in South Africa and a few other places. So how did the Rangers come about in your life?
That's a question. I should probably just write like a post about it, and that I could just link every time someone asks. So yeah, I was born and raised in the Netherlands. In the early 90s, my parents were going through a rough time leading up to a divorce. So every day I would come home from school, I would go into my parents' bedroom, watch TV, because, you know, early 90s, there were two TVs in the house, one in the living room and one in my parents' bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I was about 7 or 8 years old. And one of the TV stations we had was called Screen Sport. Later on, they merged with Eurosport, which is probably a more familiar name to some. And in the early 90s, they actually showed NHL highlights every day at 4 p.m. and I'd be in school until 3:30. It's about a 10-minute walk home. So it was perfect timing. So for me, every day, like between October and April, I would just come home from school, get like a drink, like a box of apple juice or whatever. And I would just sit on my parents' bed, turn on the TV, and I watch NHL highlights. And that's how I sort of got into it. And the reason I picked the Rangers is a weird one, I guess. But I was intrigued by the fact that they were the only team without a logo on their jersey.
Interesting. That's true, because they had the diagonal letters.
Right.
Yeah. That's funny that that's what stood out the most.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people in the Netherlands support the Philadelphia Flyers because they play in orange. The Pittsburgh Penguins were very popular back then because of Jaromir Jagr, of course. The LA Kings because of Wayne Gretzky. I remember owning a leather baseball hat of the LA Kings in like the early 90s with like the old Kings logo on it.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah. Chevrolet logo or whatever, like that kind of logo.
Yeah. And it was just because Wayne Gretzky was playing for them, you know? Everyone was watching the LA Kings because of Wayne Gretzky. And
right.
But I, for some reason, I picked the Rangers because of a very arbitrary reason. Started following them and never stopped. My dad would often go to the American bookstore in The Hague, and he would pick up like newspapers from New York. So it would be like the Daily News or the New York Post. And he would bring it home, and I would like read the articles about the New York Rangers. And my dad liked it because it was a way for me to improve my English. So he didn't have any problems with it. He's a teacher himself, so he was always very, very interested in teaching me new things. And yeah, just one thing led to another. It started in the mid 90s, like 95, 96. We got internet at home, so I started watching articles online or reading articles online. Early 2000s is when the first illegal streams came out, 200 by 300 pixels. You couldn't see the puck at all.
I remember those days.
But, you know, and it just grew from there. And then like the mid 2000s until 2010, there was this website called hockeystreams.com. Rest in peace. No longer exists. That was the best site ever. You would pay 80 euros a year, and they had illegal streams for every league: NHL, AHL, OHL, WHL, QMJHL, everything. That was like, you know, like paradise. And there, throughout the years, you know, you start to follow a little bit more. Message boards come along. There's some Facebook groups, and in 2016, flew to New York for the first time. Attended my first Rangers game. Rangers beat the Oilers 5-3. Gretzky was in the building, so it was pretty cool. McDavid on the ice.
Yeah.
Not a bad first NHL game to go to.
No, definitely not.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, how did the whole prospect thing come about?
So back in 2017, I was working for Microsoft, and I was offered a data center manager role in Vienna, Austria. So I relocated. So in the meantime, I had lived in like South Africa and Denmark. Went back to the Netherlands in 2010. And then in 2017, I was offered a job in Vienna, Austria. So I relocated there. And Vienna is pretty close to the Czech Republic. You know,
right.
They have some teams that play in the Champions Hockey League here in Europe. So we had Frölunda that played like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Djurgården with Alexander Holtz played in Vienna. I saw Tim Stützle play in Vienna.
Really?
That's cool.
That way I just started following prospects, and I would, you know, I would fly to Sweden and Finland for work regularly. And I would always try to match that with some games. So I would watch Nils Lundqvist play for Luleå in Sweden.
Good old Nils.
I saw Kaapo Kakko play for TPS several times in Finland. I started going to junior tournaments, like the under 24 nations in like the Czech Republic, stuff like that. And especially those youth tournaments, there's not a lot of fans. There's like maybe 50 fans, and the other 75 people are NHL scouts. So it's very easy to interact with players, and you start to interact with scouts. And you know, once you start interacting with them, I thought, you know, well, why don't I just start tracking everything and started doing some prospect interviews, and I've been doing them ever since. I started a new batch now, released the first one this week, and I have 7 more coming up in the following weeks.
Well, I'll promote that. We'll promote that on our page and stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, then on Twitter, I was just doing stats for a couple of years. And then I started just doing prospect updates. Every time a prospect scored a goal, I would post a video. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, when the NHL was canceled, I started posting prospect schedules and recaps every morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Just so Ranger fans had something to look forward to. You know, maybe you wanted to watch hockey that evening and there is no, you know, there is no Rangers game. And that's become like my daily routine now. So I do prospect interviews, I do regular updates, those daily schedules and recaps. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And honestly, I have to thank the Rangers for not covering their prospects at all, you know, giving the opportunity to step in there. It's kind of frustrating though that the New York Rangers went through a whole rebuild and they couldn't care less about giving us some decent coverage on their prospects.
I feel like that's most NHL teams though. I feel like everyone kind of has someone similar to you in each organization where it's someone maybe, that just focuses on it.
But if I look at other teams, and I don't want to turn this into a Rangers bashing session, but in 2018 when the Carolina Hurricanes won the draft lottery and they picked Andrei Svechnikov, they had like a 4-episode series on their own YouTube channel called Inside the Storm. It's like 12-minute episodes. So in total, like 45 to 50 minutes of content where they go over the war room, scouting, the combine, drafting Svechnikov, him coming to Raleigh for the first time. And then a year later, the Rangers get the second overall pick in the lottery. And I was kind of expecting the Rangers to do something similar, but we never really got anything.
Right. Somewhere. And it's funny you say that because I think you're kind of right in that sense. And what's interesting is I feel like Brennan Othman is maybe the first Rangers prospect who I've actually seen them start to cover pretty heavily. Like I'm seeing like a good amount of, it might just be because he's a beast and, you know, is scoring every night and things like that. But I feel like I've seen a lot of updates and, you know, content coverage on him this past year where I haven't seen that in the past, even when, I mean, I guess it also alludes to the fact that Lafreniere and Kako, right? They immediately went to the team. So they didn't actually, you know, they got picked and then they started with us, right? Whereas Othman now had this year of development and so on, but it definitely is interesting. And I did want to circle back because I know you had mentioned Nils Lundqvist. Do you have any updates on the latest on his development? Do you think he'll get another shot at that third pair next year? Or do you feel the Rangers might prefer, you know, someone like Zach Jones over Nils in the lineup next year?
It's really difficult to figure out what the Rangers want to do because Chris Drury really doesn't release any information. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very, very serious about, you know, keeping everything, like plays it close to the vest, so to speak.
Right.
But looking at the way the team's constructed, it kind of makes sense for them to keep Nils Lundqvist in the organization because Jacob Trouba is going to be a cap casualty either next year or in 2024.
Yeah. You know, well, he has a no move, right? Until 2024.
Until 2024. Yeah. But, you know, players have waived no move clauses.
Right.
And the way I see it, a no move clause is not always about staying in the same place. It's more about getting the opportunity to pick your next destination. Mm-hmm. In 2023, the Rangers could sit down with Trouba and say, hey, listen, we want to trade you. You get to pick where you go. You waive your no move clause for one or two destinations and we'll try to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, that way he can use his no move clause to decide where he goes next instead of waiting until 2024 when the Rangers can trade him to, I think, 16 teams.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That he cannot block a trade to. So it's all about leverage. It's all about negotiations. But that $8 million cap hit has to go because they have Lafreniere coming up. His ELC is expiring next year. Keandre Miller's ELC expires next year.
Right.
Same with Zach Jones. Kako this year, of course. So they're going to have to do something. And when Trouba is traded away, it kind of makes sense to move Schneider into that second pair and have Lundqvist then come in from Hartford on the third pair.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder if it could kind of put a wrench in those plans or whatever the term is there if Trouba is named captain, because I wonder if that may essentially kind of like force the Rangers' hand in that aspect to not making that type of move if they do end up naming him the next captain, because he obviously was one of the, you know, 2-3 leading candidates there.
They traded Callahan, though.
That's true, but I doubt they'd name him captain and then trade him immediately after. I mean,
maybe that's also the reason they haven't named their captain.
Very true. Yeah, very true.
I also think Mark Giordano this year was named captain of Seattle and he got shipped off at the deadline.
Well,
yeah, Seattle, but I would consider that a different circumstance because now it's a expansion draft and he only had 1 year left. But yeah,
right.
I mean, being a captain does not make you immune to being traded away. Right. But at the same time, if they wanted to name Trouba captain, it probably would have happened by now. Like I said, he's been here 3 years. We could say the same for Kreider and Zibanejad and Panarin. They've been here for 3 years and they haven't been named captain. They've been alternate captains. So I don't know what their plan is.
Right.
With the captaincy, but cap-wise, with all the other big contracts being wrapped in no move clauses anyway, like, you know, Panarin, Zibanejad, Fox, when his RFA years are over, they're not trading Fox anyway, but Trouba makes the most sense because you have Schneider, who is now developing into that similar role. And you might, as a defense, take a step back for a year if you replace Trouba with Schneider, but long-term, it seems like that's the right move to make.
Right.
And if you make that move, do you want to go out and acquire a third pair defenseman, or you just stick it out with Nils Lundqvist for another year in Hartford and just have him transition into that role and have someone that's already in your organization?
This is, I feel like, such a difficult time, though, to be a fan of this team because obviously there's so much moving in and out. And now more than ever, I mean, I've obviously been a little bit more into Twitter in the last, like, 2 years than I have been in my whole life. So I'm just, like, seeing more stuff out there. But it's so hard to just, like, be in the present and be in the moment with a team like this Rangers team when there is so much youth talent. And I'm looking at the jerseys behind you, and it's really cool. I love your setup with Kravtsov, Othman, Lundqvist, Lafreniere, Kreider, and Shesterkin. And obviously that says Shesterkin, which we got to get to that too, because I don't know the story behind that. But I see you post about it all the time. But in your shoes, in your position, when your kind of focus is looking forward toward the future, obviously you want the team to win the Stanley Cup this year, right? But it's also at the same time, like, for me, I wasn't that upset when they lost to Tampa because I knew it's like, this wasn't meant to be this year. It's not right now. It's the next 2-3 years, even 4 or 5. And obviously I watched the game last night.
2-3.
Huh?
I said 2-3.
Okay. But I watched the game last night and I tweeted, I was like, honestly, like, thank God the Rangers lost, because they would have gotten fucking pummeled to this Colorado team and I wouldn't have been able to watch that. So for you, are you like almost way more encouraged that they didn't even make the cup final, or is it like, I just wish we got there, even if we didn't stand a chance?
It's not a yes or no question, you know?
Right.
Do I wish the Rangers would have gone to the Stanley Cup final? Of course, because you want a chance to win the cup.
But if they almost got destroyed, it's like,
but looking at how Colorado plays, you know, it makes you wonder, you know,
it's matchup based. Yeah.
Would that have had a negative effect on this group when you get absolutely destroyed and possibly swept in a Stanley Cup final, as opposed to losing in the conference final while taking the 2-time Stanley Cup champion to 6 games.
And going down swinging, you know?
Yeah, it's mentally, you can make a case that getting eliminated in 6 in the Eastern Conference final might be better for this team, but it's all hypothetical. But look, the Rangers were never supposed to go this far. You know, the Rangers are only 3 years away from their first top pick. And I've been very vocal about this. You know, the Rangers need to be patient. Their fan base needs to be patient. Because if you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they took 6 to 7 years to go from their first top 5 pick to winning a Stanley Cup.
Right.
The Rangers are only 3 years away from their first top pick. So I always, for me, it was always 2024. That was like the where your cup window opens up. And of course, not every situation is the same. Of course, we signed Panarin and we already had Zibanejad and Kreider. But look, the Chicago Blackhawks signed Marian Hossa. The LA Kings had big contracts on the books when they won their cup in Doughty and Kopitar. Sure, they drafted them, but they were still their big contracts, you know? The Penguins had Malkin, Crosby, Letang. You know, they also had big contracts. There's no one formula for success. And I think that's important to remember as well. But the Rangers just need to build on this. And if they make it to the second round next summer, I don't consider that a step back, because that would still be what I expected them to be before we went so far this year.
Right.
My expectation for this year was make it to the first round. Next year, make it to the second round. And 2024, you go Final Four or beyond. And then you are a contender for hopefully 5 years, maybe more. And this team is young enough. You know, Kaapo Kakko is only 21. The Sedin twins didn't hit 50 points in a single season until they were 25.
And they're pretty good.
And the Colorado Avalanche, you know, we praise them, but their rebuild took 13 years.
Yeah. Right.
They drafted Duchesne third overall in 2009, Landeskog second overall in 2011, MacKinnon in 2013 was first overall. Then they had Rantanen 10th overall in 2015. Every other year they had a top 10 pick. It took them 13 years to get here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, it's interesting because you look at the Avs in terms of a formula for success in this latest core group, right? Surrounded by Makar and Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen, all those guys. And it's interesting to look at their past few postseasons. And last year they were, I think they were the cup favorites too, or they were top three at least for sure. And, you know, they had a pretty early out. So it's interesting to see a team's development like this Rangers team. And I do think, and I've said this to Johnny, I do think this is the core that could ultimately bring the cup back to New York, but it definitely hinges on the development of some of these younger guys, right? We're a top two young team in the league, and we need guys like Kakko and Hedel and Lafreniere to really take that next step that players like MacKinnon took, right? MacKinnon, everybody uses him as the example for Lafreniere, like, oh, Lafreniere didn't have that crazy, crazy breakout year yet, but look at MacKinnon, he didn't either. But I think it's different in that regard because MacKinnon obviously took that step and he's top two in the league, top three in the league. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see kind of how this plays out over the next year or two. And I think you're absolutely right in the sense that, you know, 2024 is like the year you look at like, all right, this team should be legitimately competing for the cup now. But also that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if they do it next year either. I mean, if Drury makes the right moves,
if they get there before 2024, that's great. But I'm not going to be upset if they don't.
Exactly. Yep.
I love the Blackhawks comparison, honestly. I think it's so spot on. I mean, that Blackhawks team went, you know, I watched them, remember, like 2007, 2008, playing against the Vancouver Canucks and those teams. And then 2009, they get to the conference final and take on Detroit. That, you know, that pretty good Detroit team that was almost a dynasty, I think, in that
four
early 2000s.
Cups.
No, the early 2000s, though. Like, they won a couple cups, you know.
They won. They
2002, 2008.
So they won in 97, they won in 98, then they won in 2002 again.
2002 and then 2008.
Yeah. 2008, and then they lost the final in 2009.
But that 2009 year, they beat the Blackhawks to get there, and then the following year, the Blackhawks got the revenge and beat them. Yeah. So it was, that like was a similar matchup.
That was the team that Chicago lost to in their first postseason since their rebuild.
Right.
This is the Rangers' first postseason since their rebuild. And they lose to the defending cup champions, who are now potentially losing in the final. It's almost poetic how similar those two seasons are for the Blackhawks and for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So all that being said, obviously Chris Drury has a pretty tall task ahead of him for this offseason. You know, and if you're Chris Drury, what does your ideal offseason look like right now in terms of like RFAs, UFAs, re-signing, bringing someone new in? What's it to you?
Well, with the way the team's constructed right now, they have money for one decent signing. The rest will just be, you know, entry-level contracts, players on one-year deals, cheap deals. You know, you have Kravtsov, who signed for $875,000 for 1 year. Those kind of deals is probably what you're going to look for in your bottom six. And then you have, if you sign Kakko to an extension for $2 million or $2.5 million, that leaves you with about $4 to $5 million for one decent signing.
Yep.
Now, the question is, do you want to give that money to Ryan Strom? He probably wants more. You want to give it to Andrew Kopp? He probably wants more as well. So what are your options then? Are you going to go for a veteran like Paul Stastny? Are you going to go for, you know, more depth? Do you sign Tyler Motte and maybe like a journeyman for $2 million just for 1 year? Or do you not use the cap space at all, wait until the deadline, and then make a big trade for a center then that is in his last year of his contract that could help you in another cup run and just take it 1 year at a time? Because we still have 3.4 million in cap penalties on the books this upcoming season as well.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah. No, absolutely.
I don't think a team is ever going to win a cup when they have multiple millions in cap penalties on the books.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Tampa do that last year?
Tampa didn't have any cap penalties.
What was their cap situation? They like they
LTIR.
Yeah. Well, they were very creative with the LTIR, yes, yeah. But they didn't have any debt cap space. They didn't have any buyouts on the books.
I want to ask you, like, on top of that, though, I keep seeing a lot of different Ranger fans like saying Paul Stastny is the guy to bring in. I think that's like so typical, like New York Rangers bringing a guy after his prime. Like similar, like obviously Brad Richards was a fine player for the Rangers, but was he the guy that was gonna, you know, be the difference maker? Probably not. I mean, I know he had some strong seasons here, but I would you want Paul Stastny or would you aim younger? Because the league continues to get younger. And I look at a guy like, you know, obviously it's a defenseman, so it's different, but Cale Makar is, you know, changing the league and changing the outlook of the league. Like, he is so young and he's,
it's not just Cale Makar, it's Adam Fox too. The way Adam Fox plays on the power play, mm-hmm. he's breaking ankles every game, you know. And look, I don't think Paul Stastny is going to be a solution, but mm-hmm. more just a plug for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I really want to commit to that or rather just, you know, see it out until the deadline or maybe a little bit before the deadline where you make a trade in February or late January. But it also depends on what you see your young guys do this upcoming season. Do you think that Filip Hedl is finally ready to step into that second line center role?
Right.
No, I don't. Do you?
Because if the answer is yes, then you're only looking for a third line center. And that's a whole lot easier to do in a free agency or in a trade than to go out there and get a second line center.
Right.
If you don't trust Hedl to be a second line center, who are you going to commit to? Because you cannot commit long term, because next year you have those other contracts coming off the books that need re-signing and Lafreniere and Miller. The salary cap is holding the Rangers back probably more than most other teams. And Drury needs to find a creative way to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. One thing I had mentioned to Johnny and a few of my friends who I've been speaking with, an interesting thing could be if we do feel Hedl is ready to take that step, and then let's say you plug in even good Giroux in the third C, and then maybe you re-sign Mott or whatever for the fourth C, like maybe you can use that money for a winger if you kind of want to go get a little creative and get a $4 million winger who can help this team. Someone like, I mean, you know, Palat obviously is probably going to get more than that, but somebody along those lines, you know, of that talent. Mm. So it's definitely something where Drury is going to have to get creative. So and
here's another question though. Do you really want to pay $4 million for a winger that's going to be on your third line? Because I think everyone agrees that Kako and Lafreniere are going to be in the top six this upcoming season.
I don't think Kako will.
I don't know if Kako will. And I could see something like him and Kravtsov on the third line wings, or, you know, if Kravtsov plays for us, but it does raise the question, and it's something that's going to be kind of interesting to see how it unfolds. And I feel like this time in 3 weeks, we're going to know, right? Free agency is going to open and we're going to kind of know the situation, know what's going on, but there's a lot of different ways Drury can go about it. And I do think it's going to be a challenging test for him. Cause like you said, this cap is really restricting this team, and I'm pretty sure it gets even worse next year. So
I know one thing, whatever Drury does, it's not going to be popular.
nothing ever is.
He does is.
Although the deadline deals this year were pretty fucking amazing. No, I don't think you know that.
Yeah.
The Rangers don't have the cap space to go out and get like the guy everybody wants. You know, they don't have the cap space to trade for Patrick Kane. They don't have the cap space to sign Nazem Kadri or Johnny Gaudreau. They're not in a situation where they can make that kind of commitment. So the moves you're going to make are going to be at best underwhelming, and there's going to be a lot of second guessing, but that's par for the course with this fan base, isn't it? Like, I mean, last year when the Rangers drafted Brendan Hoffman, I mean, collectively we as fans were like, oh my God, I cannot believe they didn't draft the center.
I know.
And well, in 2019 with Braden Schneider, we did the exact same thing. And look at Braden Schneider now, look at Brendan Hoffman now. So sometimes we just have to trust the process, I guess.
Well, I also think people are kind of sleeping on Brett Berard. He's a really good college prospect for Providence. And
yeah,
he's,
yeah. And this is why I really wish the Rangers would do more about their prospect coverage. Mm-hmm. Because showing a little blurb on the broadcast for 10 seconds doesn't do it justice. Yeah, when you have Brennan Othman scoring 50 goals in the OHL and all it gets is 10 seconds during a little break mm-hmm. in a regular season game, mm-hmm. it just doesn't do it justice. Brett Berard was the best player on Team USA that won gold at the World Juniors, and he was 18 mm-hmm. years old.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the most coverage it got was like maybe 20 seconds on the MSG 150. You know, we have really good prospects in the system, and I wish the Rangers would just showcase it a little bit more.
Right. And that being said, I mean, you did mention Othman. I mean, is there any likelihood we might see Othman or Cooley in our lineup next season? I mean, do you think one of them might have an advantage over the other? As you just suggested, maybe the Rangers go about making a move at the deadline. Like, could we potentially see a Keandre Miller type of situation where they really, really overperform in camp and whatnot, and the team thinks they're ready and one of them comes up and starts with the team? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think Othman has a better chance of making the team out of camp than Cooley. That's not necessarily about, it's not necessarily about him being more NHL ready, but more the situation he's in. So mm-hmm. with Othman only turning 20 in January, he's not eligible to go to the Hartford Wolfpack.
Right.
It's a rule that the NHL and major juniors in Canada have had in place since the, I think, early 70s. If a player is drafted out of the OHL, WHL, QMJHL, he cannot play in the AHL until they turn 20.
The dumbest thing to me.
They have to turn 20 by December 31st of that season to be eligible. Mm-hmm. So Ryder Korzak, who was drafted the same year as Othman, is eligible because he turns 20 this calendar year. But Othman was born January 5th, so he misses the cutoff by 5 days.
Oh, wow.
So that puts you in a situation with Othman where once you send him back to the Flint Firebirds, you cannot call him up midseason. Mm-hmm. Once a player is assigned to juniors, they have to finish their season, and they can only be called up once their team is eliminated. So I think Othman has a better chance of making the team out of camp just to see what they have, because they don't have the flexibility with a call-up as they do with Will Cooley, who's going to be in Hartford.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I would love to see him there. I think if they're, the issue is right now this team is contending or at least trying to contend. So, and I'm sure they're going to be very careful with him too.
There's a very on point comparison to Brennan Othman in that situation. And that is in the 2014-15 season.
Yeah.
Anthony Duclair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned him the other day to Johnny that was the exact example I used, because he's a guy who, you know, we tried it out with him and they gave up on him too early or what.
But like 30 games. Yeah. He played
well, 30 years. So the reason, okay, so it's getting very technical here, but if a player has not played in the NHL yet, your first pro season only counts after you're on the team for 40 games or more. That's either playing or as a healthy scratch.
Right.
And you need 7 pro seasons to be eligible for unrestricted free agency. So if Othman is on the team this season for 40 games or more, he would be UFA eligible at age 26 instead of age 27.
Right.
So even if Othman makes the team, I expect the Rangers to send him back to Flint in early January around the 40th game of the season.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Niels play 41? Didn't Niels just pass the threshold this year?
Yeah, but for Niels, it doesn't really matter because he's already 21. So he's not going to make the cutoff before 27 anyway for unrestricted free agency. His entry-level contract is also not slide eligible, so that's not a concern.
Yeah.
With Othman, I don't think they're necessarily that worried about his entry-level contract sliding, because sometimes it's more beneficial to burn a year off the contract because you get to extend them earlier.
Right.
But it's the 40-game threshold that's going to be an issue. Leon Draisaitl, in his first NHL season, was sent down after exactly 39 games by the Edmonton Oilers for the exact same reason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And there's a variety of different factors that can come into play. I mean, if the Rangers are cruising and Othman does make the team and he's lighting it up, like they might just say, you know what, forget it. We're going to keep him up. But it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And quickly on Duclair, I don't think the Rangers gave up on him. He was just the asset the Arizona Coyotes really wanted in that Yandle trade. Because Duclair played with Max Domi in juniors and for Canada at the World Junior Championship. So they wanted to rekindle that chemistry.
Yeah.
And the Rangers came knocking for Keith Yandle. He was the first guy they wanted in that trade package. So you have to give to get. I don't think it was a bad trade at all.
Duclair, no, I loved Yandle for us.
And Duclair didn't become like a contributor in the NHL until he was on like was 15.
Yeah.
In Columbus, I think, right?
Yeah, so he was with us, then with the Coyotes, then he went to Ottawa.
Ottawa, and then Columbus,
then Panthers, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's on his fifth NHL team now, and he's, what, 27, 28? Look, the Rangers gave up good value to get Keith Yandle, who was also good value.
Yeah, he was great. I thought he was great. I loved Yandle, too.
I wanted to extend him so bad.
He was awesome.
I guess my last question is, what or who's one prospect most Rangers fans might not really know about yet, but you think they're going to learn to love and, you know, he might eventually end up playing regularly for the team?
That's a great question.
I can only name one. Okay. I think it's going to be Matt Rempe, who played for the Seattle Thunderbirds this past season. He's 6'8", 245 pounds.
Seventh rounder?
Sixth rounder.
Sixth rounder, yeah.
His production in juniors isn't really there, but I had a call with him a week or two ago, and it's one of the prospect interviews that's coming up in the coming weeks. And one of the things that really stood out is that, you know, he's forced to hold back in juniors because he's so overpowered. Every time he hits someone into the boards, he gets a game misconduct because he's going up against like 16, 17 year olds. And here's this guy that towers over everyone.
Yeah.
If you look at the Seattle Thunderbirds like team photo, it's like someone's dad sneaked into the picture.
He's the what's the tall building in Seattle? The Space Needle or whatever? He's the Space Needle.
He's the Space Needle on the team. Yeah. I think he's gonna be one. And you know what? I'm gonna name a second one because I really don't care. There's a defenseman the Rangers drafted in 2018 from Sweden. His dad is actually a Rangers scout, Simon Kjellberg, who played in college the last couple of years. The Rangers have, I think, one or two more years of eligibility. It's a bit uncertain because of COVID, if we get an extra year of eligibility there. But he's a defenseman that really put it together the last year and a half. You know, had like a breakthrough season for RPI in the NCAA.
Yep.
And he's moving to, I think, University of Northern Michigan now.
Okay.
For his senior year. I think he could surprise people.
Cool.
I was going to build off your question and say, if there's one prospect that can be somewhat of a sleeper or surprise to make the team next year, who would you have your eye on?
To make the team next year.
Because we haven't really actually talked about Bobby Trevino, and he's one that I feel like could be a sleeper.
Trevino is 23 years old. So, I mean, how much seasoning in Hartford does a guy that's 23 really need? But it is a big jump. It is a big jump from college to the pros.
Right.
I think Adam Edström from Sweden is gonna make his NHL debut this upcoming season. He's gonna surprise a couple of people. Edström is also a big guy. I think he's 6'7" and 240 pounds. Also sixth round pick in 2019. Played in the SHL for the last couple of years. Was a big surprise to even stick with the team at age 18 a couple of years ago. Won the Champions Hockey League with his team, made it all the way to the final of the Swedish Championship, and really in the playoffs stood out. You know, he's like a playoff performer.
Okay.
So I think our fourth line has some potential young play. We have some potential young players in our system for our fourth line going into the future.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, we want to thank you for all the insight. And honestly, like as Rangers fans, like it is so nice to have you because like you said, like, it is hard to keep up with prospects. There's so many of them and there's so many different leagues and it is nice to go to your page to see all the players that we want to follow for the next couple of years. So I also do want to give you like a second to plug whatever you want to plug. I know you got some stuff coming out this week and your Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff.
So on Twitter, I'm statboy_Steven. As I said, during the season, I have daily prospect schedules and recaps. I post stats during the game. So if you ever think something is rare or unique, just check my page. And if it is, there's probably a stat out there, a tweet out there about that stat. And yeah, I'm doing prospect interviews over the next couple of weeks. I have Brennan Othman coming up, Matthew Rempe, Riley Hughes, who was a seventh round pick in 2018. Kalle Väisänen, who was our fourth round pick in 2021. Let's see who else. Brett Berard, spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. So that's going to be a nice write up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I should have enough to cover until the next draft, which is going to be interesting in its own right because the Rangers don't have that many picks. But who knows? Maybe they'll make a couple of moves to trade back into the first round, maybe, or they'll trade down to add some quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. And then free agency is going to be interesting. So to me, the offseason, it sounds weird to say this, but to me, the offseason is maybe the most exciting part of hockey season. Uh-huh. There's so much changing.
All the drama.
There is a lot of drama. So, if you like updates on prospects, just definitely follow me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram, but I'm not that active there. So it's mostly Twitter. And if anyone is on HF boards, it's a hockey forum. My username there is Amazing Kreiderman. So
we love that. That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Steven. Yeah, this was awesome.
We really want to thank you. We definitely want to have you back on as we get closer to the season to talk about lineup changes and other prospects to look out for going into next year.
Yeah, we can maybe do like a post-draft recap or something.
Yeah.
Cool. It was fun. It was fun recording with you guys and look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, Steven, thank you so much. Seriously, we appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, man. Good.
See ya. Bye.
We really want to thank Statboy Steven for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Obviously, he made some really good points, and it is tough to keep up with so many prospects throughout the year, but it's obviously something to keep your focus on this summer as we try to figure out this Rangers roster for next season. I don't really have many other thoughts. Cody, is there anything you want to talk about in the ending before we wrap up?
No, I thought it was really interesting to learn about some guys we might not know about. And you made a great point about Berard. I you know, he was like all the talk during those juniors, right?
Yeah,
like
the world juniors.
All the talk. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of his development and then the whole Othman Cooley situation. It's funny because when we talked to Vince was like, Cooley's going to be the guy, not Othman, because Othman, you know, they want to avoid a type of situation like a Niels or like even a Duclair or whatever. Like, so it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. And I feel like our top six probably is set after we get in whoever we choose with that 2C position or whatever direction we go. Like, our top six is basically set. So at this point, we're looking at like bottom six guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And why are you giggling at me?
I have to tell you a funny story after.
Sharing's caring. That's okay. That's really it. Other than that, we'll have a great episode for you next week, and tune in. We got some really good guests lined up and excited to share with you guys.
Love you guys.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money
at Menards. If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.